So our second lesson today included the words, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." Gentleness. Gentleness, kindness, meekness. It's not a popular concept these days, is it? But it is described by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, not the one we've just read, but another letter he wrote, as one of the fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, kindness, gentleness, and so on. And in Scripture, it's often given as an attribute of God and of Jesus. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, "gentle Jesus, meek and mild." It's an image that is very much there in the common awareness of Jesus throughout the population. But it's an image that gives a one-sided idea. And I think it can be a bit misleading as to what Jesus is really like. And I have in mind the picture that I used to see in an old Bible that was in my house when I was growing up. It was a Victorian picture, and it had this figure of Jesus looking rather thin and pale and anemic, holding a lantern. It wasn't Holman Hunt's Light of the World, but it was very similar. And underneath it said, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." And he was dressed in something that looked very like the nightshirt that my grandmother used to wear when she went to bed. And you look at that picture and you think, if this man stepped on a flower, he wouldn't damage it. He looks so weak and insignificant in that picture. And gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is to me a phrase which conjures up a picture of a real wimp. I don't know what it does to you. But years ago, I knew a rather elderly retired clergyman in his late 80s, who Reverend Walter James, and he had been a chaplain to the SAS when they were first formed at the towards the end of the Second World War. I don't know if you know what the SAS is. In Britain, they are a crack regiment of the British Air Force, and they are the elite of the British Armed Forces. If there is a really difficult task to do, the SAS are called in. If you cast your mind back to the siege of the Iranian embassy in London in the mid-1970s, 1974 or 5, I think, it's the SAS who burst through the walls of the neighbouring building to free their hostages. The SAS are this symbol in Britain of hard men who are strong, determined, disciplined, well-trained and highly efficient. What would you say is the equivalent in America? Green Beret? Navy SEALs? You know the sort of thing, I think. Well, Father Walter was a chaplain to the SAS for many years. Hard to imagine it when I knew him as a frail man in his late 80s, because he used to accompany them through all their training. It's what chaplains do in the British Army. And he must have been one of the fittest men I'd ever met. And he told me that this image of Jesus as gentle and mild and meek made it hard to convince soldiers that he was a person worth following. And when you look at the New Testament, Jesus was no wimp. He was a carpenter and the son of a carpenter and used to hard physical work. If you just take one of the Gospels and a map and look at the journeys that he made from Galilee down to Jerusalem, back again, back and forth all the time, and the time in which he made them, he cut quite a pace, which his disciples might have found it hard to keep up with. he was fit, and then cleansing the temple. We read the story and we're so familiar with it. Have any of you ever been to Jerusalem? If you go to the Temple Mount today, it's dominated by two mosques. In the time of Jesus, the part that he would have cleared was a huge open area, walled in but open to the sun. And it would have been used as a marketplace and was called the Court of the Gentiles. You could get a crowd of 30 or 40,000 people into that space. And you can imagine the men running their market stalls, and Jesus takes a whip, overturns their market stalls, and clears the place. Now, the man pictured in my Victorian Bible could not have done that. They would have just laughed at him, and I'm not sure he could have picked up one of the tables, let alone thrown them all over the place. Jesus is no wimp, and that Jesus would have inspired strong men to leave everything and follow him, as he did. A strong, powerful, and commanding presence. Quick-witted, sharp-minded, and very intelligent. But that's another sermon for another day. The Jesus who cleansed the temple would have inspired Father Walter's SAS men to follow him. So what do we make of gentle Jesus? Gentle Jesus is also very true. Gentle, tender, and kind. Having time for the individual. Think of a story of a woman caught in the act of adultery. Is there no one left to condemn you? No, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Think of Mary Magdalene in the garden on Easter morning, being the first witness to the resurrection, who mistook him for the gardener. And just read that story and hear that one word he says to her, Mary. It's just so filled with tenderness and gentleness. And I could go on. To me, gentleness and strength go together. That's not always so in today's world. The values of our culture mean that being strong means you don't show weakness. Being strong means you don't show tenderness. And being strong can sometimes mean being a bully. Not so for Jesus. Being strong enabled him also to be gentle. I have been very struck by one sentence that I've heard and seen in news reports quite a lot over the last few weeks. And that is a quotation from President George H.W. Bush. I've seen it in almost every obituary I've read of him. Calling at the time for a gentler and a kinder America. I never saw him or heard him calling for a weaker America. The America he stood for was a strong America, but he wanted it to be gentler and kinder. And it seems to me that gentleness is something we need to rediscover in our world today. And so that brings me back to the text with which I started. St. Paul writing to the Philippians, let your gentleness be known to everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your words today, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In our second lesson, Nicole read the words, let your gentleness be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Gentleness is not a word that we hear very often these days. It's described by St. Paul in another of his letters as a fruit of the Spirit. And often in Scripture, it's an attribute which is given to God and to Jesus. Now, what images does the word gentle or gentleness conjure up for you? For me, there's a phrase that comes from my childhood, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And associated with that phrase is a particular picture in a book, well, in a Bible that used to be in my house as a child. It has Jesus holding a lantern. It's not Holman Hunt's Light of the World, but it's like it. And he's standing on grass, and he is thin, and he looks weak and pale and anemic. And underneath it says, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It's an image that sticks in my mind, and the Jesus in that image is wearing something which is very much like the night dress that my grandmother wore when she went to bed. It's a picture that has obviously helped many people, but to me it's a one-sided image. And it doesn't help me to picture a real man, because when I look at that picture, I think that man wouldn't damage a flower if he stood on it. He looks a real wimp. Now, some years ago, I used to know a former chaplain to the SAS, Father Walter James. It's hard for me to imagine the frail old man who I knew in his late 80s as a chaplain in the SAS. The SAS, for those of you who don't know what I mean, is the elite of the elite of the British Armed Forces. If there's a really difficult task to be done, it's the SAS who do it. They're the fittest and the meanest of the lot. I'm not quite sure what the American equivalent would be. Maybe Green Beret, maybe Navy SEALs, I'm not sure. But the SAS are known for their fitness and their hardness. Special Air Services, they were formed at the end of the Second World War. And Father Walter, as their chaplain, did everything with them that they did. He went through all their training, and he must have been a very fit man. Hard for me to imagine the elderly gentleman that I knew. But he said to me once that this image of Jesus as gentle, meek and mild, often connected with Victorian artwork, made it very hard for him to get soldiers to identify with Jesus, because when they looked at it, they saw a wimp and not someone they were inspired to follow. And it's not an image that is fair to the Jesus in the Scriptures. He was anything but wimpish. He was a carpenter. He was used to handling heavy pieces of wood. He was used to hard physical work. If you take a map and a gospel and put them side by side and look at the journeys that he undertook from Jerusalem up to Galilee, back to Jerusalem, back and forth many times, and look at how quickly he did them, then you'll realize that his disciples were probably trying hard to keep up with him a lot of the time. He was fit. And do you remember the story of the cleansing of the temple? Jesus takes a whip, he turns over the tables of the money changers, and he drives them out of the temple. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Jerusalem and to the Temple Mount. Today, it's got two mosques on it. But in Jesus' time, it was a huge open-aired area, the court of the Gentiles. It was big enough to contain 30 to 40,000 pilgrims at a time. It's a huge space, and it would have been filled with people setting up their stalls and trading. Now, can you imagine going into a busy marketplace and clearing it and driving out all the traders, overturning their tables? You would have to be a very strong, commanding presence to do that, wouldn't you? It's not something that I can imagine the figure in my Victorian Bible ever being able to do. And that Jesus would have inspired, as he did, strong men to leave everything and follow him. A strong, powerful, and commanding presence. Also very quick-witted, sharp, and intelligent. But that's another sermon for another day. For Jesus, who cleansed the temple, would have been able to inspire Father Walter's SAS men to follow him. So the image that we often portray of Jesus doesn't really fit what the Bible tells us about him. So what do we make of gentle Jesus? It's also true, and it's also biblical. Gentle, tender, and kind. Think, for example, of the woman caught in the act of adultery. When the people who are all prepared to stone her have gone away, Jesus says to her, "Woman, is there no one left to condemn you?" "No, sir. Then neither do I condemn you." Or Mary Magdalene in the garden of the resurrection, meeting Jesus and mistaking him for the gardener. Just read that story and hear the one word that Jesus says to her, "Mary." It's so full of gentleness and kindness. And there are many other examples I could quote. In Jesus, gentleness and strength go together. Now, that's not always so in today's world. We regard gentleness with suspicion. And being strong often means that you mustn't show weakness. Being strong in today's world means not being tender, and very often being strong means being a bully. Not so for Jesus. His strength and his gentleness go hand in hand. I've been quite struck over the last few weeks when I have read obituaries of President George H.W. Bush by a phrase that has stood out to me, calling for a gentler and kinder America. It's not a phrase I ever remember from his presidency, but then I wasn't living in America at the time, so I probably would never have heard it. But I've read it in virtually everything I've read about him. A gentler and kinder America. Never do I think did he call for a weaker America. Gentleness and strength can go together. And on that note, it brings me back to the text from which I started. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. A few moments ago, Mary read our second lesson, and she included the words, "Let your gentleness be be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Gentleness is not a word we hear very often these days. It's a rather unpopular concept because people think it means weakness. But gentleness is included in the scriptures quite often. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul describes it as a fruit of the Spirit, something that should be developing in all of us as the Spirit's work bears fruit in our lives. And often in scripture, gentleness is an attribute of God and an attribute of Jesus. There's an image which I have from my childhood, which causes me, I think, to misunderstand what gentle means. It's a picture in a Victorian Bible which used to be in our home when I grew up. It's got the title underneath, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. It's an image that is very much in the common awareness of Jesus, but an image that I think is a little bit one-sided. And it looks a bit like this. The figure is standing there holding a lantern. It's not Holman Hunt's picture of the light of the world, but it's based on that, I think. He's standing holding his lantern. He is thin, weak-looking, pale, and anemic. And he's wearing something that looks like the nightdress that my grandmother used to wear when she went to bed. And I look at that picture and I think, what a wimp. If that man stood on a flower, it wouldn't be damaged. And to me, it doesn't sum up a picture of somebody I want to follow. And I remember talking years ago to a retired clergyman. I knew him in his late 80s as a frail old man, Father Walter James. And he had been in his youth, or his young 30s maybe, he had been a chaplain to the SAS. Now, for those of you who don't know what the SAS is, they are the elite of the elite of the British Armed Forces. If there's a really difficult job to do, it's the SAS. If it's storming the Iranian embassy in the mid-70s when hostages were held, it's the SAS. You know when you hear about the Special Air Services that they mean business. They are the meanest of the mean and the fittest of the fittest. And Walter was their chaplain. He went with them through all their training, and it's hard for me to imagine the frail old man that I knew as this fit, lean soldier. But he was, and he told me once that that image of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, made it very hard for him to convince soldiers that Jesus was a person worth following, because they had this image of a wimp. And it's not true to scripture. Jesus was no wimp. He was a carpenter and the son of a carpenter. He was used to handling heavy pieces of wood. He was used to hard physical work. If you take a gospel and an atlas and you put them side by side, and you start looking at his journeys from Galilee down to Jerusalem, back up to Galilee, back down to Jerusalem, and you think how many days he took to do them, you'll probably form an image of somebody whose disciples had difficulty keeping up with him. He was fit. And then do you remember the story of the cleansing of the temple? Jesus takes a whip. He turns over the tables of the money changers and he drives them out of the temple courtyard. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever been to Jerusalem. But if you go to the Temple Mount today, it is a large, flat area and there are two mosques on it. In Jesus' day, those mosques weren't there, but half of it at least was an open courtyard with a wall around it. It was called the Court of the Gentiles, and anyone could go there, and that would have been the area that he cleansed. It's so large that you could get a crowd of 30 to 40,000 pilgrims in it. It's a vast area, and it was dominated by this market where people were trading and changing money. And Jesus comes along and he clears it. He takes a whip, he throws over their tables, and he drives out the money changers. Now, the wimp in my Victorian Bible could never have done that. To do it requires a man with a strong physical presence and the kind of man who would inspire other people to follow him. He's a strong physical presence. He's also quick-witted, sharp, and intelligent, but that's another sermon for another day. That Jesus would have inspired Father Walter's SAS men to follow him. So what do we make of gentle Jesus? Gentle Jesus is also true. Gentle, tender, kind. Think of stories from Scripture. What about the woman caught in the act of adultery who's dragged before Jesus by people who want to stone her? When he says, and this is an example of his quick-witted response, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," everybody goes away, and there is Jesus left on his own with this woman. And he says to her, "Is there no one left to condemn you?" "No, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you." You can't read that story without feeling how tender and how caring and how gentle Jesus is. Or think of Mary Magdalene in the garden when she goes to anoint Jesus' body on Easter morning and finds the tomb empty. She's upset and she meets whom she thinks is the gardener. And she bursts out to him, "Where have you taken his body?" And he simply says to her, "Mary." Again, I can't read that story without feeling it's full of gentleness and tenderness. Now, in today's world, when we talk about being strong, we talk about not being weak. When we talk about being strong, we talk about not being tender. And being strong for many people means acting rather like a bully. That's not so for Jesus. For Jesus, strength and tenderness go hand in hand. Strength and gentleness. I've been very struck over the last few weeks reading obituaries and articles about President George H.W. Bush. And the thing that stands out to me is a phrase attributed to him calling for a gentler and kinder America. I don't remember him saying that, but then I wasn't living in America at the time, so maybe it just didn't have much impact. But a gentler and kinder America. I don't think anyone would ever accuse him of calling for a weaker America. He didn't, did he? Not the president who took us into the Iraq War. A gentler and kinder America does not mean a weaker America. A gentler and kinder Christianity does not mean a weak Christianity. And so that brings me back to the text with which I've started. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.